Welcome and thanks for joining us on episode number 159 of the Financially Independent Teachers Podcast. If you think your story could help other educators and you'd be willing to come on the show, please check out our webpage at financiallyindependentteachers.com and fill out the form to come on the show. Coach Spies, it is so good to see you today. You are a busy man. What do you got here? Like four more classes to knock out this master's degree? What's going on?
I got a couple more. I got two more. So, and then, yeah, two more. And then there's like some other stuff that you have to do, but yeah, I'm almost finished. And, but you know, it hasn't been just that. There's been a lot of things going on, but hopefully there's some light at the end of the tunnel. I have certainly missed, being on the Fit podcast and hanging out with you and hanging out with the guests. But this morning, special accommodations were made so that I could be here. Because Miss Nancy said that she wasn't going to be on the show if I wasn't here, and I was so you had to make some special accommodations here, and she had to make some special accommodations. So we are up at 7:15 on a Saturday morning, recording a podcast, and I'm excited to do it. It's good to be back.
Yeah, I work with Nancy. We've worked together for 17 years, and you know she lets me know all the time without saying it, like, hey, it's just not the same without Brandon, Dave. I'm sorry. I love you, but we need Brandon back. So here you are. And the show isn't the same without you, but it's a blessing to have you back today.
Man, it's good to be back. And yeah, the bantering back and forth and man, I missed it, man. I miss doing the podcast. So I'm happy to be here.
Well, it's awesome. Well, let's welcome our guest, Nancy. Nancy, here in Eastern North Carolina. She's on island time this morning. She's calling in from Emerald Isle. She's one of those that gets to live at the beach. So Nancy, how are things at the beach this morning?
They're great because I'm living the dream.
Living the dream. So tell us a little bit about how long you've been teaching and what you're teaching these days over here at Jacksonville High School.
Well, it's year 17. I've been teaching CTE classes or business classes the whole time, mainly marketing, which we didn't really have it at Jacksonville until I got there and said, hey, the kids are bored. Let's bring some marketing classes. So ended up doing that. And I also have been teaching the International Baccalaureate career-related program courses, which extremely rigorous coursework. Love the program. I think it's really good for the students. And that's what keeps me at Jacksonville.
So you went from the private sector to the public sector.
Well, I sure did.
Tell us a little bit about your experience in the private sector and maybe tell us a little bit about the differences between working in the private sector and public sector.
All right. I call it Act One was private sector. I was went to Ohio State. So I'm a fellow Buckeye with
Go Buckeyes.
With Dave. Yeah, that's right. O-H.
I-O.
I-O. spent almost 20 years in human resources. So I got to really work with people. Mainly in manufacturing, but some corporate experience as well. And a lot of people, when they hear, oh, she was in corporate, she made a lot of money. I was a middle income earner. Looking back, I mean, you know, looking at the Social Security, you know, printout where it has what you made year by year, it truly was a middle income earner. I was very fortunate, started my career in the late 80s and then kind of worked my way around the Midwest, but truly got burnt out because being in human resources for about 20 years can take its toll physically and mentally on you. And I knew that I needed to make a career change. So I ended up downsizing myself, which was great. Had a little bit of free time and moved to the Carolinas at that point. Moved here with another human resource job, but I knew it would be my last. So, ended up having a medical issue. And it really kind of changes your life and changes your perspective. So, kind of got into teaching by fluke. I was going to help tutor, with the AVID program in Swansboro. And somebody said, hey, why don't you just try to become a teacher? Cause they had a program called Project ACT, where they brought the courses to us. I'm not going through what you're doing, Brandon. And just moved over to teaching. And it was a pretty smooth transition. Being in HR, I listened to a lot of adults complain and Now I listen to students complain, but the beauty is I can make a difference with the students and I can tell my war stories, so to speak. And I really do enjoy what I'm teaching. And so it's now my what I call my act two. I think you asked compare and contrast. Sure, I miss the salary because it was more, I'm not going to lie. But I can pay my bills, I can also save. And I can pursue my passion of traveling with the time off. And time off is more valuable to me than money at this point in my life. I know teachers kind of get down on themselves at times because they're like, man, we work so many hours and we don't get paid for it. But if you think about it, you really do because our benefits package is amazing.
I'm matter of fact, that's become a something that I talk about more and more now. I talk a lot about in my private conversations with teachers whenever, because we have to push back against this narrative that, where we're poor mouthing what teachers make and the outlook for teaching. And I always say that because we don't have a lot of people going into the teaching profession. And I do think that it's unjustified. The teaching profession does offer quite a bit of financial gains, quite a bit of financial benefits, is what really the word I was looking for. And that benefit package we get would cost a lot of money if you had to go purchase it. And so, and then of course, I was talking to a teacher just the other day, Dave, and we were talking about the pension. He was asking about how much money should he be investing. And I said, well, the general recommendation is 15%. He said, well, I'm only doing 11%. I said, well, don't forget though, you have that pension, and that pension is a superpower. And so really, Nancy, you hit the nail on the head there. There are a lot of benefits to teaching, to include that benefit package that makes it financially, it's not as bad as we sometimes make it out to be, I think.
No, when you calculate the time off, and I think the younger teachers can get like a little side hustle that will help supplement it. But I use my time off now to travel and to kind of experience some of these things that I've worked hard for through the years. The two what you call superpowers are the health care, because you can't beat our health care. You just can't. And then that pension, and then hopefully teachers will become more aware of the 401k. Even though we don't have a match in North Carolina, they need to put some money away, and especially Roth. I mean, Roth is my favorite way to do things.
Yeah, I think we recorded an episode with Brian Preston from the Money Guy show last week. It won't come out until next month. But that was one of the questions I asked Brian, because on the Money Guy show, they actually go beyond Dave Ramsey. Dave Ramsey talks about invest 15% of your income. The Money Guys say the goal, once you reach your 50s, is to be what they call is a financial mutant. And the goal is to invest 25% of your income. And I had the question of, if I'm a teacher and we're a middle income earner, let's say making under $100,000 a year, and he's a CFP, in his formulas, would he allow for our pension contributions and what the state contributes to count toward that 25%? And he basically said anybody who makes under $150,000 a year combined, those pension contributions can count toward that 15 or 25%, whatever your goal is. So in North Carolina, we're all three in North Carolina, every single one of our paychecks, 6%, whether we like it or not, is going to that pension. I had a girl reach out to me the other day and say, hey, I'm doing the 6% into the North Carolina investing. Can I add a couple more percent to the pension? I said, no, you're stuck with the 6% that's locked in. But there is this thing called a state 401k and 457 that you can add, as much a percent as you want to that, obviously up to the income limit. So, Nancy, you've discovered this whole Roth thing. What are a few of the things recently that have kind of blown your mind that HR, frankly, and I know you being an HR person, I don't think this makes you very happy, but HR didn't do a very good job letting you or I know about.
No, they didn't. And you saw how mad I was when you showed me our the teacher 401k. We have had the option to invest in Roth for how many years? We don't know. Nobody told us. And I would have been putting my money in a Roth instead of the regular 401k if I had known. So after I found that out, thank God we switched to Empower in North Carolina, because it's an easier tool to use and see the different contributions, and play around with some things. And I know some teachers' eyes are glazing over right now, which I used to be that. So please, please, please reach out to somebody. My mission, and I think Dave, your mission and Brandon's mission, let's help teachers. Let's help our fellow comrades. It's easy to do. I ended up last night, I just increased my contribution again in the teacher's 401k because I have 3 more years till retirement. So I want to maximize, maximize, maximize. So I have a big chunk going into the Roth and I have a little chunk going into the regular 401k just from a tax standpoint. Chapter 9 of the book, people, read it. It's life-changing.
That is awesome. That is awesome. The Roth contributions, the idea that, and for those that don't know, the idea that your money, that you're investing it after taxes so that it can grow tax-free. And it is a superpower game that the government gives us. When we go to withdraw that money that we've invested, all of that growth, we're going to be able to withdraw. So if we put in $50,000 and it grows to $1 million over the course of our career, we can withdraw that $1 million tax free. Dave, that is a I just wish the government would let us put a little bit more in there. Not that I could, even if they did, but I mean, for those that can, I wish that we could put more in those Roth IRAs, for example. And of course, the teachers in North Carolina have the Roth 401k option, and so they can do that. So.
Yeah, and I think I want to actually put you on the spot, Brandon, because you and I have never talked about this, but I've been thinking, and we're going to talk about what Nancy just did yesterday, a big move in her life. But we generally say that as middle income earners, if you can't do anything else, Brandon, even if you're married, single, try to max out your Roth IRA, which in 2024, you can do $7,000. If you're under 50, you can do $8,000. If you're 50 or above, if you just max out your Roth IRA, even if it's just one of the two people in a marriage, hypothetically, do that for 15 to 30 years and see what happens, right? It's pretty impressive. But there are some people that push back and they'll say, well, you really want to lower that adjusted gross income. And it's amazing the power of reducing your taxable income. That's another thing that I asked Brian Preston on the Money Guys. I said, at what point is kind of that threshold of, am I a Roth person or am I a traditional person? And he basically said his kind of cutoff there is being in that 24% tax bracket. Whether you're single in the 24% tax bracket or whether you're married and filing jointly, if you're under that 24% tax bracket, his general recommendation for most people, and of course, everybody's situation is unique, would be to go Roth. But when you turn 50, in North Carolina, hypothetically, not only could you put $8,000 into a Roth IRA, that doesn't limit you from being able to put $30,000 in the state 401k because you have catch-up contributions. Normally in the 401k, you can only do 23,000, but if you're 50 and above, you can do 30. And this is where it's really crazy. Most teachers, definitely single, I don't know how a single teacher could do it. You could also max out the Roth 457. So you could do 30,000 in the 457, 30,000 of Roth dollars in the 401k, and 8,000 into just your own Roth IRA that you manage. So if you're someone out there, it would be more of a situation like I'm in, where my spouse is more of a higher income earner. If we could live off of her income, basically take my paycheck down to as little as possible and max out all those Roth dollars, it's amazing. Now, here's one other critical piece of the Roth, Coach and Nancy, is when you participate in a traditional IRA or the 401k, the government at some point is going to want that tax money. They gave you a tax break up front, but at 72 years old, you're going to have to pay those RMDs. They're going to start making you take that money out. But with the Roth money, you never actually have to pull that money out by any specific time frame. And when you pass away, you can leave it to your kids or whoever you want your beneficiary to be. And they've got 10 years for those Roth dollars to grow as well before they have to cash it in. So I love the Roth, and Brian Preston loves it if you're under that 24% tax bracket.
Okay, I thought you were going to put me on the spot there for a second. I appreciate you
Oh,
not.
putting you
I
on the
thought a
spot.
question was
Yeah, putting you on
coming.
the spot is this. I'm sorry. I got sidetracked. Putting you on the spot is this. We always say go for the Roth IRA, Vanguard, Fidelity, whatever. North Carolina, as Nancy says, has a great option through Empower, very low cost index funds. Is there a less of a barrier entry for like a brand new teacher who knows nothing to just say, hey, go to Empower, go through like your North Carolina portal stuff, and just try to put the $7,000 into the state 401k Roth versus opening Vanguard or Fidelity? Do you think that might be less of a barrier point and it might be a little easier for these teachers? You know, what's really the difference between opening up the Roth IRA through Vanguard or Fidelity versus using Empower and doing the state one that automatically is going to take it out of your paycheck and it cuts out some of those harder steps?
So I've never invested in estate plans. And I don't advocate for Fidelity. I always advocate for Vanguard. And the reason why is because, and for me, this is the clincher for me. If you call the helpline for Vanguard, I've done it 3 times now. I've got a friend that's done it twice. I'm 5 for 5. And J.L. Collins said it's 100%. Every time you call them, you're going to get a competent person on the other end of the line that's able to answer your questions, and is going to. I mean, they it is it's really unbelievable how good they are over there. So if you have any questions at all, you call them and they just help you right through the process. And the other thing with Vanguard is that now you're part owner with that company when you go in, and so that's another benefit of being with Vanguard. Having said that, if a teacher is more comfortable going onto the portal and doing the state 401k and going through that process, the important thing is that you're investing. You know, that's the important thing. And so, and it sounds like to me that state 401k is really good. I don't, like I said, I don't know as much about it as the two of you guys do, but it sounds like it's really good. I think the important thing is just to make sure you're investing, whatever your comfort level is,
Yeah.
wherever that is, you know.
I think sometimes we split hairs, right, over this or that, or like at the end of the day, you're investing. Say on the flip side, you know, Vanguard, obviously you can invest, or Fidelity. Fidelity is great too, and they've got great customer service. I've
I'm
got a
sure
buddy
they
at
and I'm
work that
sure they
does it.
do. I didn't mean
Yeah.
to suggest they didn't. I just mean I've
Right.
never dealt with Fidelity, so I don't know.
Right. Absolutely. You know, you can invest in anything you want, where obviously with the state plan, you're limited to maybe 10 to 15 options or so. And probably that customer service piece is going to be better, as you mentioned, with the Fidelity, Vanguard, Schwab than it would the state plan, I would assume. And again, I've never called the state plan. Getting
Can
back
I
to
weigh
Nancy.
in on that?
Yeah,
Yes,
weigh in
please.
on that, Nancy.
Okay, because and you guys, I mean, I get what you're saying, but some teachers might just be like, what are they talking about? With Empower, we don't have a lot of extra time as teachers. I mean, we all know that. I ended up, once I saw the switch, I called Empower a couple times. They walked you right through it and they made it easy. Now, I am not a digital native like these, you know, the younger generations. I'm an immigrant. It takes me a little longer with the computer and everything. I'm shocked I'm doing the Zoom so well this morning. But I just asked questions, and the people that I got to, they walked me right through, and it was super easy.
That's
And I
awesome.
went over and shared what they told me to a couple of my teacher friends, and they're on it. I just think it would be so much easier for teachers to do the Empower thing, because they do have good customer service, and the website's pretty cool because it projects out with retirement and whatnot. So I think it'll help teachers. So I'm really glad the state did that.
Yeah,
Yeah, me
it
too.
definitely
I'm glad
seems
to
like
hear
a
that.
good plan. I haven't had to call them yet or anything. So, Nancy, you made a big move last night. We're talking about Vanguard and things like
I
that.
did.
You know, you've done well financially. You know, you were a middle income earner in the private sector. You and I have worked together 17 years. We never talked about money for the first 15 years we worked together. It wasn't until COVID and our principal had me put on a little workshop for the teachers. And, you know, you knew a lot about, you know, the different options within the state and the healthcare and the benefits and stuff like that. But, and I'm not trying to self-publicize our book here, but we ended up getting a book donation of the Fit Position and we handed those out to every teacher in our building. And you ended up reading that book. And you said there were a couple things in that book that really changed your outlook on money. Even though you've done well with money, you were on fire and you were trying to put all of your finances in high definition versus, you know, the bunny ears on the TV. Everything's in HD now. What are a few of those moves you've been making?
Well, first of all, and I want to go back because I love you guys' podcasts, and I've gone back to year one and listened to them. I haven't gotten through them all, but you've had some amazing guests on, and I just want to reiterate to everybody, personal finance is personal. Everybody's unique and different. So I think we have to keep that in the back of our minds. People are in different situations. So I think the book gives us a really good overview of just some ideas. Some will work better than others depending on your situation. The thing that I think you and I kind of our breakthrough was we started to talk about money. It's okay to talk about money. I've started talking about money with my neighbors now. I'm asking them how much they pay in commissions, like with their, do you have a financial person? Well, how much do you pay? And it's okay to do that. You don't have to give specific figures, but gather that information. And I think the book just empowered me this year. I decided 2024, I was going to take control of it, put my arms around it, and then try to help others, including my students. And you were just in my classroom in February, and we had some great lessons. I gave them a little pre-work. They asked you wonderful questions. They're still asking me questions. And probably about half of them have started investing at 17 and 18 years old. And
That
it's
is so
because
awesome.
we're talking about it.
Yeah, that is so awesome. I love to hear that. I love to hear Dave talks about this all the time, how he'll help a student, for especially like a former student, they'll come in and they'll say, "How do I set that Roth IRA up that you were talking about?" And I mean, there's no telling how many students the two of you guys are going to impact. It's just so it's wonderful to hear. I've got a student right now who is going to go into the military, and I said this: as soon as you get your, before you get that first paycheck, we're going to do a Zoom call, and we're going to make sure that you're budgeted correctly, and get off on the right foot. And these are things that we can do for our students, and it's so much easier for a student when they first get out of school because they can start off on the right foot. A lot of people that listen to our podcast, they're maybe already in debt or they're stressed. And you have to rewind your lifestyle. And that's not easy, but it's doable and we can make it happen. But it's so rewarding to be able to get with those students and get them started on the right foot.
Well, and I also want to reach out to your listeners wherever you are. You might be in another state, or you might even be in another country. Even though I'm in my 50s, it's not too late to start. I mean, I just can't overemphasize that. We as teachers need to have some type of supplement for the pension. And I don't want to be working at Walmart, after I retire. I'm just not going to. I want to travel. And one of the things that Dave had been alluding to this whole time is I actually opened up a Roth 401k Vanguard account and I put my $8,000 in it. Okay, I'm fortunate that I had it. I just plopped it in there because I'm over 50. And last night it got funded. So I went into the account Dave and JL Collins told me to, and I moved it, and I've never felt prouder. It took
That's a
me a
tough
while, but I did it.
thing. Here you are, somebody who's done well with money. You have an MBA. You've been investing pretty much your whole working career, but you made a very difficult decision that I think a lot of people might be afraid to do. Is once you read the book and you've listened to these podcasts, I know you've listened to other podcasts, you started really doing your investigative homework on, how much am I paying in fees? And you basically, maybe you didn't say it. It wasn't the old, Donald Trump, you're fired on the
No.
TV show on The Apprentice. But you basically let go of your financial advisor and said, you know what? I'm going to take control of my own situation. How hard was that to do?
He's
That's
not
tough.
he's not out of the picture, okay? Because I'm locked in some things. Do I have a few little regrets? Not yes and no. I mean, I'm fine with the way things are playing out. But when they were talking to me about, hey, let's take your 401k state plan and roll it over into this so they could get more commissions, I'm like, time out, buddy. I'm taking control. I'm doing something different. So I'm still working with him to a certain degree, but I'm also investigating options, especially as I get closer to retirement.
So now
So
with the Roth, though, the IRA,
it's not.
you're funding your own Roth IRA, which means nobody's going to take a piece of the pie. Or in the
Correct.
past, you would give the money to him to fund the IRA, and obviously he's getting a commission on that.
Well, and I did it because it was easier, because I didn't have time. But honestly, it was easy to do for me. I was like, wow, that's all they did. I just did it. But you need to reach out for help. You need to reach out for resources. It's okay to ask people for help. We're all available, okay?
I loved what you said about now you're in 2024, you're going to start trying to help others, and you're going to start, and you're talking now, you're talking to your neighbors, talking to one of the reasons why there have been so many pitfalls within the financial, within the personal finance world is because everything's so shrouded in mystery. No, nobody knows that, everybody knows that you should be investing. Nobody knows how, everybody talks about investing. Nobody actually does it, the more we talk, and the more we just kind of, take that curtain away and say, actually, this isn't that hard. And actually, there are financial products out there that you can invest in. You don't have to know which company's on the rise and which company's going to crash. And you don't actually have to know any of that stuff. There's these index funds, and you can invest in those. And the more we talk about it, the more we take away the mystery, and the more we, sort of disarm all of those different traps that we kind of fell into. I'm not saying that working with a professional is always a trap. I'm not saying that, but we all know people, or at least I know people who have, given a lot of their money away that they've invested over the years, when they didn't really need to, so
I
yeah,
have.
as a middle income earner, this is probably the best pathway for investing for us. Now, I could see if you were a really high income earner, you may need some help. You may need a professional to step in and really help you out. And that's why a lot of professionals won't even help you if you don't have so much money, to start with. But for the middle income earner, for the people that mostly listen to our podcast, this is the path, isn't it, Dave?
Brandon, you just hit the nail on the head. I think if you have, again, Nancy said it earlier, personal finance is personal. We're all in different situations. Someone might not have any confidence or want to have anything to do with their money. They don't mind paying somebody, $5,000 a year to manage their portfolio. If that makes you feel better at night sleeping, then go ahead. But you should at least know what you are paying your financial advisor. But as middle income earners, as teachers, you're probably not going to have, in most cases, some deca-million-dollar portfolio and 50 houses in real estate and all this. I think the goal for the middle income earner is max out the Roth IRA over the course of your career. Hopefully, by the time you retire, get your house paid off. Okay. Make sure you've got a basic term life insurance policy in place. If you have children, if you have a spouse, if you have people relying on your income, have a basic emergency fund. And as we talk about in the book, have those various sinking funds for summer and for vacations, like Nancy likes to do. But beyond that, it really doesn't have to be that complex. And
No,
I
it's
think you can handle that on your own for the most part with the free resources that are available, or even just buying a $20 book like Simple Path to Wealth.
that's right. That's right. Nancy, how do you I always ask usually ask this question because I'm always fascinated by it because I think because it's always been a struggle for me. What kind of system do you use for budgeting? What does your budget look like? How do you work your budget so that you can invest and travel and do all the things that you want to do?
Well, back in the day, I started an Excel spreadsheet. That's what we did. And I would just kind of track things. And I don't think I was as thoughtful as both of you guys in the past. It was kind of intuitive for me. I grew up with a single mom, so she taught me a lot about pinch and pennies. And I think she really, really has helped me out. With kind of the basics of it. But, Excel spreadsheet just started saying, hey, I need to save. I had what I call my first job, two little angels that were in the benefits department, and they said, you need to start to save. Here's what a 401k is. And I'm like, what? And so, I started saving my first job. Didn't save a lot, but as I got increases and changed jobs, I'd always check and see what the company match was. And I always did that as a minimum. And then I would increase it through time.
What would you say, Nancy, to, I'm sorry, what would you say to, let's say, a colleague that we work with, and they just have the general stereotype, oh, I know that Nancy, she's got an MBA, I see the little thing hanging outside her door, and she's taken all these trips, and she went on a cruise to Antarctica, and she lives at the beach. She must have done so well in that private sector job that, she built up a significant amount of net worth millions, and now she just was able to float into the teaching world. You've been teaching now 17 years of the nest egg that you've built up. What percentage of this nest egg would you say is from the corporate world, and what percentage has been built up from you being a teacher in North Carolina as a single income earner the last 17 years by yourself?
Honestly, it's probably half and half.
Hmm.
I mean, I'm not, I do live at the beach, but little does anybody know, it's less than 700 square feet. It's a one bedroom, one bathroom, but honestly, that's all you need. And my house was a big albatross around my neck. So I'm debt free now because I downsized. I did it before I retired, which I think is a smart move. Teachers can do it if they just, you've got to be what? Frugal, fearless, and a lifelong learner. And I mean, those three principles are what it's at. I mean, they're so true. But you got to start someplace and you got to be comfortable. That's the thing.
I'm glad you said you downsized before you retire, because that when I was talking about your budget, those are some of the things that I mean. So at some point you made the decision to sell your house and downsize. By the way, one bedroom, one bath at the beach. Yes, I will take that. That is
Okay.
awesome.
Living the dream.
That really is, for me, would be is living the dream. But you chose to downsize, and therefore that is a huge move to make. And what went into that decision?
Hurricane Florence really messed up my house, and my house was over 20 years old, and I was like, okay, we need to fix this puppy up and sell. And just kind of realizing, hey, I'm going to retire here in the near term. It was kind of an act of faith, but it all worked out. And the reason I am able to fund the Vanguard Roth, the reason I was able to take my bucket list dream trip to Antarctica and South America was really what I made from the house. So I have that little pocket of money from that. All my other stuff is really in 401k and Roth investments. I do have a brokerage account, just with the sinking funds. That's where I put my money in a brokerage account right now. But you just have to keep reading. I think the best thing that helped me in my 20s and 30s, there was a magazine called Money. Who publishes magazines anymore? But I loved it because it told different scenarios, different stories of people, and I learned so much from those. That's why I think I love your podcast. Everybody's different. I learn so many things. Just if I look at the title of the podcast, I might not be interested in it. I still listen to it because I learned so many things.
We have a segment in the book, Coach, excuse me, where it says, "Can one move change your life?"
I was just thinking
And
about that.
can one move
It
change
did.
your life? I think everyone should evaluate their situation. And I know that's a story I've talked about a lot, where we were actually driving around last night. We had to drop something off for one of my kids' friends, and it was in the old neighborhoods. We drove by the first house and showed the kids, "Hey, this is the house that you were brought home to from the hospital." They only lived there till they were 1 and 3. Then we showed them the next house where we upgraded to the 3,500 square feet, and they kind of remember that. And they were asking us about debt and things like this, and we said, "Guys, this is the thing that changed our family tree. You see that big house we just drove by? We sold that and we moved into a 900 square foot, two bedroom, two bathroom, basically townhouse duplex, and we were able to pay cash for it because we used the equity from the big house to do it." So I don't know if you remember this, Nancy, or if you even had a house payment, but before the hurricane came in 2018, I believe it was, do you remember what your house payment was on the bigger house per month?
A lot. It was probably close to little under 2 grand.
Wow. So you went from around 2,000 a month, we'll call it, with utilities and everything. You decide, you know what? This is way more maintenance and everything else. Let me downsize. So were you able to, with the downsizing, take the equity and pay cash for the 700 square foot place at the beach and eliminate almost all the bills?
Sure did.
One move can change your life. Are you
I
willing to
love it.
make that sacrifice?
Yep, and that's
Listeners.
the thing. Well, and I've got five tips. I tell all the students, and I talk to teachers about them, and I'd love to share them with your listeners if it's okay to kind of
Please
round
do.
this thing up. Number one, healthcare. It's no joke. Like, you need a job where you get good healthcare. It adds so much more. It's those dollars you can't quantify in your salary. Number two, invest early as soon as you can. Just start putting some money away, even if it's 25 or 30 bucks. And then as you get increases or move jobs, just keep increasing it and don't turn away that free money. Third thing, if you get a credit card, try to pay it off every month. If you can't do it that month, do it the next month, but don't overspend. Fourth thing, once you're ready to buy a home, try to do 15-year mortgages. I've done that with every one of my houses and it's saved considerable amount of money. It's put it back in my pocket. And then the fifth thing is ask for help. Talk to people about it. Don't put those blinders on like I did. Listen to podcasts. We've got great podcasts out there now. Your book, they need to read your book. That's it.
Those are absolutely wonderful pieces of advice, all five. The second one that you said, invest no matter how much. When I was young, I wish somebody would have shook me and made me do that. Even if it was just putting it in a savings account, because I really did think that less than $100 wasn't going to move the needle, didn't matter. And so why not just go blow it? I mean, it's not going to matter anyway. But there's two things. Number one, it actually does matter because those dollars and cents, that little bit that you thought you were investing over time really does begin to add up. But the second thing is just developing that habit. So I never developed that habit in my 20s and through my early 30s. I never even developed the habit of trying to put any money away. I hope that everybody listens to all five of those. But that second one, especially if you're a teacher who says, I don't have enough to invest, I can almost guarantee you there's money that you could invest. If I, matter of fact, Dave used to put the challenge out. I'll bet I can find $500 if I looked at your budget, and I am certain that is true for most. And even people that are like shaking their heads are like, no, there's no way. There really is. There's things that you can cut. There's ways that you can do it. So that those are great pieces of advice.
It's never too late, but when you look
Never
at the
too late.
Money Guy's wealth multiplier, there is a huge cliff from age 30 to age 40. At
Yes.
age 30, you'd have to invest $340 a month. $340 a month at age 30 until 65 to become a millionaire based on historical returns. But if you wait a decade until age 40, that number jumps from 340 a month to $1,052 a month. That is a
Wow.
huge jump. And if you could start, if you're in your 20s, gosh, at 25 years old, every dollar you invest, you'd only have to invest about $175 a month at 25 to be a millionaire. So even on a teacher's salary, it can be done. And I know Nancy and I we're walking around that building at Jacksonville High School. We're shouting from the rooftops as much as we can to let these young teachers know, get started and get moving. So let's not make this money thing taboo anymore in the world of education. And who better to teach about this stuff than a teacher who has a heart of the teacher, who has no financial incentive to gain from sharing this information? We're not getting a commission on it when we pull a young teacher aside and say, open up a Roth IRA through Vanguard or Fidelity.
No,
Nancy, any last advice for these teachers?
nope, I think I said it. I've just enjoyed seeing Brandon finally
It's nice to meet you.
and sharing information. I think that's our calling as teachers, and we need to take care of ourselves because we don't do that at times.
It's the encourage. Thank you so much for coming on, because it's encouraging. I think the more guests we have, the larger this catalog becomes of everyday teachers who are, accomplishing their financial goals, achieving financial independence and financial security. It's encouraging. It's encouraging to me. Like, I miss it. Like, I'll tell Dave, when I'm not recording the podcast, I sometimes get negative because, I don't have that encouragement. And so, I think the larger the catalog is, the more people that we have come on and share their stories and explain how they're doing it, we encourage one another. And so you, what you guys are doing in your hallways at your school is awesome, because you're the people around you become encouraged, and you really do sort of become the average of the five people that you spend the most time with. I mean, I think there's a lot of, I don't know if that's completely true, but it's it, there's I think there's a lot of truth in it, because when I'm surrounded by really positive people who are speaking encouraging words to me about, the future and hope and personal finance and all that, I do better. My mental place is better. And so, Nancy, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story a little bit, some advice, and just passing on the message of hope that
Yeah,
we
my
can continue.
pleasure.
Yeah, Nancy, thank you so much. And obviously I'll be seeing you at work on Monday. And Brandon, of course, it was such an awesome pleasure to have you back as well this week. I hope you'll be back next week, but keep getting A's in those master's classes. But thank you so much, Nancy and Brandon. And of course, thank you to all the Fit listeners for joining us on this week's version of the podcast. We hope you join us for next week. And as always, be frugal, be fearless, and be a lifelong learner. Take care, everybody.